Chapter 12. The War of the Worlds. The Spiritual Battle That Changed Humanity's Destiny. Immediately after Christ died, having completed the decisive act of his mission, a profound turning point occurred in the history of humanity. A major phase had ended. A new phase was beginning. In the days that followed, a number of remarkable events were witnessed on Earth. Many people later called them miracles. A moment for miracles. Let's clarify what we mean by miracles. Many things are possible in this universe. A miracle is simply an event whose underlying laws we do not yet understand. For example, some people cannot understand how communication with the spiritual world might occur, how a spirit might speak through a medium. Yet, spiritual laws govern such phenomena. When someone learns to work within these laws, certain influences from the spirit world may become possible. When we do not understand these laws, we call the event a miracle. Such was the case with Jesus as well. Amazing things were possible because of the purity of his spirit. In truth, the universe itself is a miracle. The war begins. After he died, Christ returned to the world of spirit. There he gathered up his army of a relatively small number of specialized spirits. Together they went on to fight a spiritual battle in the world of darkness. At first glance, this may sound strangely human. Yet where do wars originate? Wars on planet Earth are only an outpicturing of spiritual war. Of course, the mechanics of a spiritual war are not the same as here, but the essence is the same nevertheless. A detailed explanation of how this battle unfolded is beyond human understanding. The spirit entity sharing this teaching, the Pathwork Guide, could only describe it in symbolic terms. So what follows is a condensed picture of events. It may sound symbolic, and to some extent it is, but it points toward a deeper spiritual reality. To continue, a war took place between Christ and Lucifer. We can use our imagination to envision it being like a war with guns and knives, as would happen here. Of course, that is not quite how it happened, but it helps us grasp that a real spiritual conflict took place. Christ and his small company were so outnumbered that even Lucifer had to admit the contest was fair. Up to this point, everyone was playing by the rules. This was a non-negotiable thing, for it was vital to make sure that in the end, even Lucifer would ultimately be able to get back to God. He will, of course, be the last one to return, since he was the very first to leave. New conditions are created. In the end, in every sphere, Christ fulfilled the plan of salvation. His task was different in each of the numerous spheres involved. In the world of God, where he was tasked with all the preparations, on earth, and in the world of darkness. But once the battle was over, nothing was ever going to be the same again. New conditions were set up, and they have reigned ever since. In our historical accounts, we say that on the third day, after he descended into hell, Christ went up to heaven. What got recorded in Scripture does a reasonably good job of capturing and preserving the details. The time element, though, is not quite right. Time is an interesting thing, and often requires a bit of translation, because in spirit, time, if there is such a thing, is relative. It's individual, psychological, and just very different. But that is really immaterial in this situation. We've made a symbol of these 3 days, and that does not need renegotiating. What were these new conditions? They were this, that all human beings were now given the opportunity to turn to God during their development on earth, going from one life to the next. Lucifer retained all his rights to continue to tempt humans, to try to get us to succumb to our lower nature. But should we resist him, we would no longer be subjects of the Luciferic world. The doors were now wide open for us to reunite with our Creator and inhabit divine worlds once again. From that point forward, spiritual laws had to be observed exactly. According to divine law, God's spirit world now had the right to intervene. Lucifer's temptations were now limited, for they ultimately fell under the jurisdiction of divine law. How dark forces motivate us. Despite these changes, Lucifer still has a fairly large margin to work with. His range was limited because he now had to operate within divine justice. At the same time, his work is a necessary means for our development, because so often we have to taste evil before we will use our free will and our own initiative to overcome it. In other words, the desire to overcome our lower self grows as our understanding deepens, and this is only possible after one has gone through some heavy darkness. That this takes more than one incarnation goes without saying. After all, our goal is to regain the perfection we need to re-enter the kingdom of God. We want very much to recover all we lost through the fall. To do this, we must shed the darkness we have brought upon our own souls. This can never be done in one lifetime. Life on earth is like a school where we move from one lesson to the next. Sometimes we must repeat a lesson we failed to learn. Other times we advance more quickly. Each life gives us another opportunity to master what we once resisted. When we first come here, we are far from our best. We come with very low and coarse instincts. After many incarnations, we work off some of our karmic debt. We suffer, but we also receive a number of divine influences here. So slowly, our attitude about things begins to change. When we start to become a little more refined, then the real work of self-finding and self-purification can begin. All throughout this process, we are going through one incarnation after another with changing conditions and circumstances. At this point, many don't have the strength to find God in the midst of this difficult reality. There's just too much lower self present to not succumb to the influences of Lucifer's world. Such temptations could come in the form of direct inspiration or through some other unwitting soul. We must persevere through this so we can move into the phase where we really start making progress, where real purification gradually begins. In every life, conditions are precisely prepared so we will have the best chance at transforming a particular aspect of our lower self. It cannot happen any other way than this. Other ways were tried, but they did not succeed. And we simply cannot do all the work needed in one life. But even in the worst cases, something is gained, even if this is nothing more than the motivation to stop wasting time. How we break free. At some point, a soul will say to itself, "My path is to get to God. I have to stop listening to my lower self. because that is the part that is constantly in contact with the world of darkness. Meanwhile, the higher self is still present in the background. It may be much further back and more difficult to reach through all the layers of imperfection, but it's back there, and it's in constant contact with the divine world. That thread is never broken. It's our outer personality, our ego, with its willpower and decision-making capacity that has to choose one way or the other. It has the means to one day wake up and say, "I declare myself for God. I am on the side of my higher self and everything that comes with that." This means we become willing to give up our laziness and stop following the comfortable path of least resistance. We also have to stop giving in to our faults. In principle, it makes no difference whether the faults we struggle with are murder, stealing, or wickedness. Or maybe they are now only selfishness, jealousy, envy, resentment, or laziness. What matters is that we truly declare we are ready to follow the path to God. Once we have made this decision, we will no longer remain enslaved to the Luciferic world. That is the only way to free ourselves from Lucifer's power. First harder, then easier. As humans, we struggle mightily against feelings of pain. We think there is nothing worse. Yet there is something worse. The stage before a soul is able to feel pain. It happens when we first come out of our numbness and begin to feel pain. But in that moment, we are already a step closer to God. How does this relate to what is happening in Lucifer's world when we are being tempted to follow the path of least resistance? In Lucifer's realm, there is also a hierarchy of spirits. More powerful spirits command the less powerful ones. If a powerful spirit fails to prevent a human being from turning toward God, if a person resists temptation, that spirit loses status and power within the dark spheres. Ironically, the deeper such a spirit sinks into suffering, the closer it moves toward the possibility of returning to God. Lucifer himself remains in the greatest inner disharmony. What saved from our sins really means. That is the story behind the saying that Christ has saved us from our sins. In one sense, this refers to the great sin of the fall, our turning away from God. Through his mission, Christ opened the door for our return. What once seemed impossible became possible again. For this we have every reason to be deeply grateful. But Christ's work did not end there. Christ returns whenever we do the work of self-purification. Whenever we choose honesty instead of self-deception, humility instead of pride, and courage instead of fear, the light of Christ enters the world again. Not through a single person, but through us.